You know, after having the big trees around the property trimmed back, there's been some additional limbs. I'm like, you know, these things are going to end up pruning themselves here soon. I'll wait till the leaves fall off, try to get these cleaned up, and lo and behold, once again, the trees, yeah, they took care of it themselves. And the infamous deer stand was cute through the years, for several years. It was made out of just some basic plywood and that. It finally met its last day, and the last storm took that down with it. And actually, I thought, you know what? I was going to just add it to project, make a new one. But I'm like, you know, I kind of like the paver stones, the large paver stones, and matches the other paver stones, and the bird baths, or the bird bath. I'm like, you know what? This actually looks better. I don't think I'm going to, you know, make another one. I think I'm just going to leave it and kind of work with it. I haven't really been able to, this past week has just been a wash with finishing up exterior property projects for the season. It's been a wash. I just have got limited sleep, and I literally just tapped out. Medicine's not working. Medicine for neuropathy pain is not working either. And it's like around the clock, but it's worse. As soon as I lay down, it's on. And it goes from my toes all the way up to my shoulders. Thank God it's not in my neck. Then I had an e-visit with my initial oncology group that treated me and did my treatments. And I was told what they did not know, because you cannot predict complications and what patients will sustain as far as longer-term side effects. It's called fast-track radiation, but I was also told it's called intensive radiation. I said, well, what's intensive mean? Well, it means that it was a very high dose of radiation. It was done in a 3D setting, 3D machine. And we maxed as many, it's GY, gigawatt, whatever, however you say it, that they could give. And instead of doing it over a course of 3.5 months, we did it in less than 3.5 weeks. And it was intensive. So the chances of sustaining damage to nerves and muscles and fractures and cracks in your bones is a 36% chance in the pelvic area when you have intensive radiation. I unfortunately fall into the 36% tile, and it usually, as I was told, hits years later. And it's a slow progression, just like I've been experiencing. The deep, deep bone aches, I've been saying, is deep bone aches because the damage is extensive from intensive radiation. So it starts lower extremities in the pelvic area, and it can go down and all the way up, or it can go all the way from one point A to Z, and I'm on A to Z. It's very, very hard pain to manage, and it's going to take multiple ways to manage the pain. So I was lucky, hospital specialist worked me in end of this week, end of their schedule, instead of waiting till my next revisit, because let's face it, I need to get some sleep. What I'm on now only lasts 3 hours, and that's it. And then it's just full on the pain. And it's like three different kinds of pain dealing with. 36% also will experience cracks in their femur, their hip bone. I fall under the 36%. Was it there already? Five cracks. Yes. Did I make things worse by pushing myself over the years? Who's to say when it was there, as I was told? This is something that takes a time, and it's not something you're going to experience right away after radiation. It's just a progression. And this is why they give you gold standard 5 years, and you know that's the prognosis. And when you make it past the prognosis, you're going to suffer. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say it. And the thing is to what degree, nobody knows, because I don't need oncologists to tell me, but I think we should all know as oncology patients is every case is different. Every patient is different of what you experience, the side effects right away and long term. 36% is really high. Overall survival rate to reach 50, what is it? To reach 12 years, survival rate goes down after you reach your five-year prognosis, your golden, you know, five-year standard they give you, which I gave me. And mine is down based off of not just, you know, hypothetically we're a guess, but based off of what you're experiencing, real-time imaging, your testing, how things have progressed. My percentage of survival rate to reach 12-year mark is 22%. Is it high? I mean, it's not, no. Is it low? It's not incredibly low. 22% to any normal person not in my shoes or have gone through this journey would be like, that's really low odds. To reach 12 years, survival at 22%. I'll take it. I was honestly expecting less than 10%. It's based off of your progression, though, of things. Right now, it's just really, as everybody agrees, is trying to get on top of the pain. That is from three different issues. You have the tumor mass itself that has grown back and is literally stuck. My intestines are basically just, as they say, hugging it is a good terminology, and stuck with scar tissue. Radiation causes the worst scar tissue, worse than surgery, and sensitive radiation. So I'm dealing with that. I'm dealing with neuropathy pain. And then I'm dealing with the cracks. They are not fractures. They are small cracks within the femur. I think I'm saying that right, which is basically the hip bone, pelvic area. And that's from where the radiation was really aimed at. And of course, radiation scrambles as it did. So you end up with other problems, but this is my life, you know? Having a bad week for a week and not being able to really do much outside, not surprising. I have to get some good days. I got some good hour. It was actually, 40 minutes. I got to spend outside just trying to clean up. And I needed some fresh air. Blue is in her terrible twos, although she's not even 1 year. She's not even 1 year old yet. She's 7 months, 7.5 months old. But she's a typical husky. Every husky I've had has been in this terror stage. They like to dig holes to China in the yard, although they don't reach China until you find out. I have found for people who have the hold of China diggers, the excavators. I need a good laugh. That was funny. I have found one thing by accident that's worked, just by accident, is Bath and Body. A friend of mine's mom, literally, she gave me four different kinds of scents because I like the holiday scents in that, and they have the fall scent, and then they had Halloween, and there was one she didn't care for, and I believe it's called Vampire. It's a concentrated room sprays. She also uses them, and I have actually started using them too. It's called Vampire. It's a Halloween scent. I think it smells like musky old shoes with a tinge of cherry smell to it. Or it kind of reminds me of that fog smell when you go through a haunted house. I think that's more. Everybody's sense of smell is different, but that's what I get out of it is dirty shoes with a tinge of cherry. Concentrated room sprays. This is the truth. If you spray it where your fur babies, your fur kids are digging holes of China in the yard, and if you cover up the hole first, just do a little spray before you cover it, and then do two sprays on top of the area, it keeps them from going back to that particular area digging. I'm going to end up asking for some stock in Bath and Body, but literally, this is not a joke. She will not touch the area, of course, because she's in the terrible twos, but she's not a good year at stage. She'll dig around other places, but every time she does, I'm quick to don't even, it's no point even yelling at them or no, or timeout. It isn't good. It's just, that's huskies for you. They love to dig. There's other breeds that love to dig, but cold weather dogs in general are diggers. Okay. And it usually starts around 6 months. There's no point of just whatever timeout going, they're going to do their thing, period. That's what they love to do. But, and they love mud, you know, using the concentrated sprays, but it's not all of them. I tried a pumpkin spray. Oh, she must have loved it because she even dug the same hole, but even bigger where the spray was. It's Vampire, the Halloween Vampire concentrated spray, but Bath and Body Works for some reason. Blue, particular my cold weather fur kid, hates it. She won't go near it. She literally looks at me like, nope, I'm not even digging there anymore. So I have like in one of those little concentrated room sprays last a long time, and it's definitely worth it. And you can get them sometimes on sale too, like 3 for $12 or something. I don't know. I'm not sure. But a friend of mine's, I mean, she gave it to me, his mom. She's like, this is a Halloween scent. Thought I would get it for, you know, the kids around the neighborhood and stuff, and kind of spray it around and bring it to church, to their crochet club and cards. They have a card club and crochet. Cards and crochet or something like that. But she's like, I just can't handle the smell. And I'm like, oh, I can't handle the smell either. But then I thought, wonder if Boo can handle the smell. She doesn't like the smell at all. And it keeps actually from her digging, you know. By the time I'm done, I have the whole front yard smelling like dirty feet meets a tinge of cherry with Halloween fog, haunted house scent smoke. I don't know. But it works. So definitely, I just plug Bath and Body. Definitely get yourself some, because it works if you have those that dig to China, you know, and this is the time of year. Even though the ground's dry, still I dig to China. So I took like my 40 minutes and I'm like, it's dark. You know, it passes. I don't like this time change. I like my extra light, especially when I'm finishing. Just need to get stuff done on the back property. And with temperature too, I'm like, you know, I gotta get back to the specialist. So they were able to put me on, you know, status high. And once there was cancellation, thank God. It just took 2 days. We're like, yep, get you in early in the morning. So we can work with figure out what we're going to do with the pain. I know we're looking into patches now, different kinds of fentanyl scares the hell out of me. I'm not even talk about that stuff. I'm just not comfortable with it. I've made it very clear. And I don't know if it's just from what's been on the news. You know, anybody can use and abuse things, you know. It doesn't make it a bad drug. It just makes it to where people make it scary for other people that need it for real pain like myself. And I'm just like, oh, hell no. It took my pain to get off the charts to literally say, okay, tap out. I'm done. I have to be put on something. It took years for me because, you know, I've been around people. I've watched people who literally, instead of seeking mental health and getting medicine for mental health, they grabbed things that were not meant for mental health and they used and abused it. And that's the truth. I've seen it throughout my life. And it made me look at meds that help people with real-time pain. It just, I don't know. I just was always very hesitant. After last major surgery, I told them no morphine. Don't give me anything strong. I'll deal with it with Tylenol. They thought I was literally lost my mind. They slipped me morphine by accident. The nurse did. That's all she wrote. I was allergic to morphine. I told them that. They had it flagged. The nurse wasn't paying attention. I passed out. I turned blue in the bathroom since they got me out of recovery and put me in a room. They slipped, and the nurse gave it to me. And you know, I talked about this before. All I heard in the distance, it sounded like in a cave, was the surgeon literally yelling at the nurse. You could have killed her. I ended up opening a case against the nurse. She got reprimanded. I don't know what happened. But the next time I was in, it was like the head nurse, supervisor, whatever. I think, I don't know how that works. Had flagged my file and that, and made sure that everything was squared away. But, you know, like I say, you know, drugs, the pharmaceutical drugs are made for a reason, you know, and to help people. And especially when it comes to pain, real intense pain, round the clock pain, like I'm dealing with around the damn clock. It makes you irritable. It doesn't make you mean, okay? For you narcs who sit there and every time somebody had cancer was sick and you keep telling everybody, oh, they're crazy. Oh, they're so mean. Oh, they're crazy. Oh, they're so mean. Okay, you're not in the shoes. You've never experienced, you're not experiencing what they are. And instead of taking the time to educate yourself on their type of cancer or what they were suffering from, chronic illness, you decided to do a scapegoat move and blame their pain on being mean or, oh, they're crazy or this or that. That's terrible. And now that I am like older and wiser and I'm literally with trauma therapy, looking at things in a logical sense, I already went through the emotional part of healing, but logical, it isn't this cruel thing you could ever do to people. And you didn't just do it to one. You went through like the chain. You went to everyone. Bam, 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 bam. Just constant. Then you tried it with me. And then it backfired. Because then when you went to my specialist started contacting me. Yeah, this person on totem poles called me. This person called. And then they started talking to each other because they're golf buddies. And then everybody realized they're calling around. The head snake had the assistant head snake who carries an X torch go calling all my specialists. This is what happened. I've talked about this before, but let's talk about logically. They literally went to all the specialists they could find. This is what I'm saying. Narcissistic people with narcissistic personality disorder, when they become a narcissistic psychopath, sociopath, when they get extreme like this, and they do things like this, and they will, they'll try to break through HIPAA and use some crazy, crazy ass off the chart, some bull, you know what, okay? And then they go contacting your providers and interfering in your care and stuff. HIPAA's there for a reason. If a provider tries to snake through HIPAA, okay, they're going to, first of all, going to get turned in the state. Second of all, they can lose their license. And lastly, the complaint in the state, it stays there, you know? A good physician that sees through it real quick. I know mine did, and they flagged me real fast. They contacted me. My psychologist in Ohio called me right away. They had a voicemail. I got the cassette tape for that. Contacting Eric's employer, got the cassette tape for that. Was contacting all my physicians, contacting my gastroenterologist. That hit the fan. And they said, you're in or out. You're supportive or you're not. Okay, you're not, stay out. Okay, legal notice goes on top of your folder. It goes right in your chart. This is before they turned everything into electronical. It was like right in the point where they were turning, you know, paper medical records to electronic, meaning everything online. And it's still there. It's still flagged. So when the narcissist tried to attempt, and all I'm going to say, try to attempt again. And all I'm going to say is try to attempt again, finding out who I'm seeing new, where I'm going, what state, what area, and the head snake of the narc is very obvious because they'll try to slither their way by trying to ask questions. And when you're smarter than the average narc and the average bear, like I have been by therapist who's dealt with people who have went through severe, crazy, narcissistic abuse, psychological interference and things. I'm just crazy. I dealt with some crazy stuff. They literally can tell you logically what to look for in signs and flags and things like that. And sit there and like, oh, well, where's your specialist appointment? What state? What area? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like I just sit back and I'm like, oh, no. Mm-mm. But the popcorn, Diet Pepsi, whatever you drink, Diet Shasta, whatever. What about that new, what is that? I thought it was clear. Was it? Oh, Lord, I'm going to have to look in the refrigerator. It's like a Sprite. They had a tiny little mini cans. And I'm like, oh, cute. Look, it's like Halloween. And starts with an F, I believe. I might have to look. I went to go pour this stuff out. And I know I'm going off topic. And I literally thought, what in the hell? I literally thought I had tar. Like black as black can be. Food coloring. And it was. It's basically a name. Or outside the can, it says name that flavor. That's fruity flavor. But it's for Halloween. But it doesn't say that you're Fanta, there you go, that it's going to be black. What the Fanta, zero sugar Fanta, put a picture. And Fanta with a question mark. They do the just common, you know. For kids, they probably would have looked and read the can. But I'm just like, you know, I just want a Sprite. Mystery flavored soda. I just like the tiny little cans, like 7.5 ounce, completely black. Take a picture of what it looks like. I actually had a laugh because that's actually a good one for Halloween. And now I just plug Fanta. If you're having a party for your kids or whatever, or you have an adult party, I'm going to talk about, you know, rolling some eyes. Go ahead and put that pop out. If you can, you find it. Soda, depending where you live in the United States. Pop, soda, fountain drink, you know. Oh, you're in LA. Diet soda, please. But completely food coloring black. Supposed to taste like Sprite, but it was a mystery flavor. It's fruit. I just went off the topic. But you know, narcs will do that. They will literally, they sense you're onto them. They figured the game out. They start revealing. You start revealing what a narc's doing to you. You start undoing their masks for them. You are target number one, my friends. You are target number one. They are there now to seek and destroy you. They're going to shut you up, silence you up. Like I said, it got crazy. I got sued. Narc tried to sue me. Judge intervened. I mean, dictating what you can and cannot say, what words. I mean, some crazy stuff. They will use restraining orders. like you're drinking a glass of water and breathing in air. They will use and abuse restraining orders. Narcissistic psychopaths, sociopaths, when they've been doing this for a long time, their behavior, okay, and it's trained because it's like the next one and the next one, they start passing that baton, they will use and abuse the court system, and especially when it comes to restraining orders. They will fabricate, they will lie, they will create just to shut you up. I literally had a narc tell me, it's not a joke, on the phone. Well, it's because you were using words. You literally try to put my ass in jail for using certain words on a podcast? One particular word? And you try to put me in jail? And it got kicked out again? I don't know what happened. I just lost myself in the conversation. Instead of like, and literally that's how arrogant they are. They literally were like, yeah, once you got them, once you have an attorney and you got to start pulling up things and you literally got verbatim word for word for word, a narcissistic person can't get out of it. They're done. They can't get out of it. Once their target has the proof, they can't get the hell out of it. I can't imagine what the judge was thinking. I get done with this before, thousands of dollars trying to sue, trying to dictate what they can and cannot say. Now all of a sudden we're trying to put this person in jail who has no criminal record, hasn't done diddly squat, telling everybody restraining orders are great. Getting people to falsify and create restraining orders, having another judge in another state stop restraining orders, because let's face it, I don't even know who the person is. I never talked in my life. And then I had clerk of courts literally tell me who they were. They got thrown out. You ever know? Do you know this person? I don't think you know him, do you? You know, because some areas are small. Small areas are small. Let's just face it. I was like double dumbfounded. Like the narc will literally tell other people, hey, listen, do this, this, this for me. They'll pay them off, try to be buddy-buddy. So what are we going to do? They're literally that arrogant. They're that arrogant. That arrogant. Well, yeah, because they couldn't get you to stop using this word. What the hell? You know? The jail system is for people who do things, not for people because you don't like what their words they're using. You don't like because they're telling their story, their journey. Oh, I'm sorry, it's because divulging part of the story is what you've done to them and what you did to me. But you literally did that, and then you want to arrogantly sit there when you admit it. You should have explained yourself a little bit more. And first thing should have been coming out of the mouth per trauma therapists and attorneys is, listen, I wasn't thinking right. I was going through my own struggles. I wasn't thinking right. You're right. I was projecting on you. It wasn't okay. That was dangerous. You know, I put you in a cesspool of germs and things like that. You know, there's a lot of germs. There's a lot of viruses. There's a lot of in these jails and prisons. Let's face it. Okay. It's not a 5-star resort, but you literally admitted this to me. Well, the first thing I did is I ran to attorneys. That's right. Ran to the people that count. Wow. Okay. So we got admittance. Interesting. All right. You don't see that stuff. I don't care if the head snake's trying to put you to. I don't care what they're putting you up to. Head snake would literally put this person up to it. Literally, this is how bad it got. They would put me up to him. If you could please just go and talk to him and work things out with them and go talk to him and go run up here and talk to him here and literally tell me where they're at, when to go talk to him. Well, I'll think about it. No, go there now. This happened. I had a chief of police, literally, this is not a lie, on my last breath, so help me God, my loved ones know this, watching over me, my guardian angels, literally had a chief of police literally contact me, had a conversation and said, I know you are not like Mitt right here. Okay. I know you ain't like him. Nothing like him. Okay. Please stay away. I'm saying this because if I was you, I wouldn't want to be, no, it's not good. It's not good at all. I have seen blah, blah, blah. I know blah, 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 blah. And a lot of stuff that was going on that they were not okay with. I think they got to the point where, we know they're an empath. They felt bad, and they were protecting me. Literally, go listening to the head snake, okay? Because you're always having a narcissistic cult or group, or however you want to say it. You'll have the leader, okay? Leader's dictating, oh, you need to work things out with them. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do that. It doesn't matter who it was. It's the whole point of how this works logically. This is coming through trauma therapists. I'll tell you how it works, Kim. Okay, you go talk to them, try to work things out, whatever. As soon as you do, they contact them real quick while you're making your way. They contact, call the cops, do this, do that. Yeah, they're coming up there. Cut, cut. The whole point of the head of the snake is to beg their projected, their bullseye. Get them in trouble. No matter what it takes, get them in trouble. Fabricate, lie, lie, lie. I'm going to say the whole point of a narcissistic person is to lie. When they have their claws in you, you start divulging what they're doing. They're hurting you. You're expressing yourself of emotion of how hurt you got by the narcissistic person. Of course, you're going to need to go through the emotional part, and you're expressing this out in the public. Doesn't matter, public, social media, I don't care where it's at. It could be God. They could find out you express it to God. You are target number one to any narcissistic person. And you're dealing with a narcissistic group because narcs hang around narcs, a cult. They all gang up together. They all make sure they're all on the same page. They have group chats. They make sure to contact each other. They make sure to email each other. Make sure that they're all on the same page. When a chief of police and someone of a higher power or judges or attorneys, or heaven forbid, somebody's attorney, starts putting this together and seeing all this, a true person who doesn't want to see somebody to deal with this stress and they're already dealing with their health is going to literally contact you in way, shape, or form. And they're going to tell you everything that's going on. Now, your job as a projection, as a target and a bullseye to any narc, is you better listen to what you're being said, because I didn't. It was still hard for me to really believe this is really happening and to listen to the people of high power, okay, and to remove myself immediately. And I didn't do it. And this is why I end up falling into more problems. Falsifying restraining orders, falsifying documents, lying under oath, using restraining orders like it's air you breathe in. Narcs will use restraining orders like air you breathe in to get you in trouble. They use it like drinking a glass of water. This is not a joke. It's very serious and it's very scary. And it could be very, very, it can be serious. Things that narcs can do can give people heart attacks. It can give them stroke. It can cause a deterioration of mental health to their projection. If you have something chronic, it definitely can make your medical condition worse. It's a liability. It is. If somebody is warning you and telling you, it's because they're projecting you. You better heed the warning signs and listen, especially if they're a superior, higher power. I didn't. See, that's where I'm learning logically where I messed up. I didn't. I caused myself years of heartache and headache. And years of my life, it's gone. I'm never going to get back. But now I look at things like, you know, I didn't listen. The proper people per trauma therapist of title were protecting you. But they were also warning and contacting you. They were mailing you. They were contacting you or calling you. Okay. They know you're not this person that the narcs projected you to be. And they're doing things that can end up causing your life. You know? People who misuse the court system try to throw innocent people, people that are just saying a word, and a narc admits it was a word. I'm not AI. You're trying to program me like an AI robot. What you should have done per trauma therapist is apologize for some really brutally cruel past. There's not enough cruel in the dictionary, okay, or in encyclopedia or in the world to describe when somebody tries to put you in jail for using a word. And you ain't even around the person. You're not even near the air they breathe. You're trying to evade, avoid. And they do that. And then you have the head snake to set you up. It's called a setup. It's a narcissistic setup. It's damage control. Oh, this person's divulging what I did. They're divulging their feelings. The head snake doesn't want to do the damage. They don't want to pull the target. They don't want to pull it because you know why? They don't want to get in trouble. So they will use the less superior narcs in the group or cult, or whatever you want to say it, okay? Because narcs hang around narcs, to get them in trouble. As long as they don't get in trouble, they want the next torch carrier, next baton carrier to get them in trouble. Or the flying monkeys, which are narcs in training, get them in trouble, okay? Because the head snake's never going to be in trouble. Now, if the head snake finds out the next superior down, call them out, let's just say it's going to be a silent treatment. Two power struggles. It's going to be some silent treatment. And there's going to be some heads banging. You're never going to see it. Normal person, empath, projection, whatever you are, target, normal society, will never see the power struggle between a narc calling out another narc. Especially when you have a head of snake superior get called out by the less superior. Oh, they're blaming me for all this? Really? Oh, really? Okay. Well, they were in on all of it. Then all of a sudden, you get all this damning information, literally read it, and you literally see the head snake is involved with every single move that a less superior narc move. Okay, let me rephrase this. I'm so passionate about this right now. This is passion, not emotion, passion. A head snake finds out a less superior narc is calling them out. There's going to be banging of heads of power, control, and struggle between the head snake and the less superior snake, the step down, okay? The head superior snake narc in training. Heads are going to roll. There's going to be a power struggle. But I'm going to promise you right now, you're never going to see it. It's going to happen, but you'll never hear about it. You're never going to see it, okay? Because the snake doesn't want their target. Of who they think of less of seek and destroy. They don't want them to ever find out what they're doing to them. Sure, after a while, you get out of the fog, you're going to think, what the hell am I dealing with? Well, while you're in the fog, what am I dealing with? You don't know what narcissistic personality disorder is or narcissistic behavior, which I did not. You aren't going to know what the hell you're going through. I didn't. You get the warnings from superior people, you still don't get it because I didn't really know logically. You know, I had a psychologist in Ohio, but logically, I didn't really know what narcissistic personality disorder was, narcissistic behavior. I had a trauma therapist really get down and dirty almost 2 years now to really logically, I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you what you went. You're going to tell me what you went through. I'm going to read prior notes, notes shared between therapists. And I'm going to tell you exactly what you went through, why, and what they're doing, what they did, and where you went wrong. You didn't listen. You listen to superior people that people, these are people protecting you. You always have people protecting you. You just didn't understand what you're going through. You didn't know what narcissistic personality disorder was. Well, a narcissistic behavior, narcissistic psychopath, sociopath. These people don't stop. They're ruthless. Once they go into one of your physicians, what they're doing right now, one's doing, is doing the question game. Okay? And the thing is I outsmart, outwit, outplay. Because I have a trauma therapist who educated me on every single move a narc makes. Let me know. Write it down. We'll talk about it next session. Okay. They're asking where my oncologist is at, where this person's at. Okay. But they're not asking where this specialist is. No. Okay. Because they already went to them. Contact your disability attorney. Have a release. Pull everything up. Because there's nothing that's going to ever be. When somebody already goes and tries to break through HIPAA and they go contact your physicians again, an attorney gets involved and releases their sign, they're going to find out everything, including any phone calls or any narc ever tries to do it again. They're going to find out. Now somebody's going to get in trouble. Who's going to get in trouble? The narc. Now you're going to have a civil lawsuit. You're going to have a cease and desist, and you have a restraining order. That's what's going to happen. Okay? A narc, when they get blasted and you find out they go to your physicians, it's crazy. It's because you're divulging what they've done. You're expressing yourself out of emotion. You don't know what's going on. You know, whether you're in a group setting, whether you're a social media, it doesn't matter. It's fact. What you went through. And a narc doesn't want anybody to know because they don't want people to know who they really are because that's how narcs are. And then they go contacting, trying to find out new physicians in that. You sign a release for an attorney, especially a disability attorney, you're done. You're a narc, you're done. Game over. Game over. Now you got to deal with the big attorneys. Now you got to deal with federal. Sometimes narcs never learn. They never learn. They still never learn. They're unhappy. They have no life. Really, they could have a life. You volunteer. Volunteer. There's plenty with 2023. Plenty of organizations of people that need help. Plenty of places need help. I suggest going to hospice first. Donate your time. Donate to a homeless shelter. Donate your time. No, they don't. Because they want to go back to the target. Because they still haven't annihilated you, obliterated you. Okay? They still haven't got rid of you yet. Okay? And if you deal with chronic illness and you haven't died yet, you haven't, whatever, okay, I'm sorry, I'm just saying it, you haven't died, you haven't met your fate, okay, they're going to be back on you. They go around in like a circle, as I was told by trauma therapy. They have their other projection, okay, they have their other bullseye or bullseyes, okay, they play with them, and then they go back to the main target that's exposing everything they've done, exposing their mass, and people who've been around this, have listened to this, have seen this, are going, oh, now I get it. Okay, then all of a sudden they do the slow drift. This trauma therapist said they do slow drift. People who don't want to be a narc's bullseye because they've seen some really abusive things and cruel behavior that the narc has done to people, normal people in society patrol out there, but they don't want to be involved with somebody like that. They're going to get the hell away. They're going to do slow drift. They're not going to say to the narc or narcs what you've done was blah, blah, blah. It takes a hell of a person to stand up to a narc. It takes the strongest person to stand up to a narc. Because a normal Joe Schmo doesn't want to deal with a narc. Because they see the behavior and abuse, no matter abuse is abuse, of what a projection, a target of a narc, what they went through, sustained. They want to do a slow drift. They don't want to be involved around people like that. They do slow drift. They disappear out of a narc or narc's life. Okay, they don't want to deal with it. That's how they deal with it. But you on the receiving end, you don't know what you're dealing with. I highly suggest you sit down with a therapist, an experienced licensed therapist, a psychologist or psychiatrist, trauma therapist preferably. Not a lot of them around, but you can find them. It has to be somebody that's dealt with narcissistic personality disorder. You have to explain what you're going through. If you're going and getting an aha moment and you have through my podcast, aha. Wow, this sounds exactly what I went through. Because you're probably dealing with a narc or narcs. Because remember, a narc doesn't work solo. They don't work alone. They work as a group. And the more that they can recruit and train and get flying monkeys to do their work and stuff, the better they are. You know? The lesson is I'm telling you this, and this is the truth. You can ask any professional therapist who's dealt with narcissistic abuse, of people who have dealt with and sustained narcissistic personality disorder, somebody's narcissistic and dealt with the abuse, okay? And tell you verbatim, they will abuse, misuse the court system. They love misusing restraining orders. They will falsify. They will lie. Doesn't matter. They'll do it under oath. They'll do it to God if they could, okay? And you get superiors and they're looking out for you and you're getting warnings and you're getting calls and you're getting letters and you're getting things in the mail. It's not just a coincidence. There are good people and good souls, and they are. They're looking out for you. There's good judges. There's good chief of police. There's good attorneys. There's good therapists. And there's even your good doctors who are going to look out for you. Once a narc crosses a line of HIPAA, and they start contacting your physicians, and they do it again, that's where you need to sit down. You need to sit down with the attorney, because then things need to start happening. Because you can't let that happen. Nobody should ever interfere with your right to your care, period. And if it's a narc, it's not going to happen a second time. Okay? They break through the barrier of a HIPAA by lying and creating some fab, just ridiculousness, okay? They do it again. Okay? It can't just go, just blow off. You can't just roll that off your shoulders. You have to consult the attorney. Something's got to happen, okay? That's just the way it's got to be, you know? That's the truth. They will go to your physicians. They will do whatever they can just to get rid of you, to shut you up. That's the end goal. They don't like a word you're saying, they'll do whatever they can. Sounds crazy? It's not, because it happened to me. It's not crazy. I have proof it's happened to me. It's not. It's not crazy at all. Happened to somebody else, too. Two other people. It's okay. And then there was others. Doesn't stop. You got to figure out what you're dealing with. I had no idea. It was like a fog. I had no idea. Now I'm logical. I get it. But I also get you while you're asking where. Where's my specialist? Where's my oncologist? Oh, what area? What state? What hospital? Who they with? I'm never going to give you a clear answer. You know why? Because you're repeating a pattern that you didn't learn the first time. Now, if you cross through HIPAA, well, it's not going to get blown off. But let's just say you protect yourself, and physicians and specialists put letters in front of your chart when they have strange behavior where people are literally causing and interfering and in the right of your care and trying to tell doctors and surgeons what to do. That remains in front of your chart for the rest of your life, folks. And when a narc tries to go back and then start trying to search and seek and find new doctors you're with, those warnings get surfaced and they go through, especially now everything is from written to digital and it goes smack right in front of your chart. It gets on your e-chart. It's flagged. Okay? Can't ask any attorney that. And a narc tries to go and dig, a narc's going to find themselves in big trouble is what's going to happen. All I can say for any narcs, when you do that stuff to people, you need to go ahead and bow out while the going's good so you don't get in trouble. And you need to go pick up a hobby if I have something better to do with your time. Because if you got plenty of time to go causing people misery and interfering in their care and jeopardizing their care and interfering and telling doctors what to do, interfering and telling them what to do, then you need to go find a job. You know, maybe you need to be a construction working supervisor. Tell your workers what to do. You know, maybe you need to take over Mary Barra or whatever her name is, the CEO of GM. Maybe you need to go ahead and put in your job title for the next CEO when she retires. Okay. Because narcs are dictators. They like to tell people what to do. They like power. They love power. Power. Okay. They're power-driven people. But there's something in their past, for my therapist. There's trauma. There's trauma. There's abuse of some kind. There's something. There's the, you know, there's something. Bullied in school, an abusive situation. I don't know. There's something. Okay. And then there's those that get trained. You know, trying to appease people. They have low self-esteem. They're trying to appease people. They don't run across the narc. Now they're getting trained. Okay. Well, you don't even know what the hell you're getting trained for. Oh, why you let somebody train you? You know, why would you want to carry that kind of next baton or torch? You know, why would anybody want to do that? Don't do that. You have extra time in your hands. Roll up your sleeves and start helping people. You know, volunteer your time at national parks. Volunteer your time at homeless people. Volunteer your time at hospice. Volunteer your time at animal sanctuaries. Volunteer your time serving Meals on Wheels. Volunteer your time somewhere. Don't volunteer your time getting involved in people's business with their health. It's not your business. Okay? Because one day you'll find yourself in trouble.